Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, February 26, 2015. Corbett, James Corbett, usually joins us on Thursdays, but he was unable to do so last night. He will be returning next week. So today you have the full hour live with myself and Alfred Addis. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, usually you have a little bit more to say than that, but
no, I actually don't. You got to pry it out of me. You always have a lot more to say,
but
generally the kind of the strong silent type is the way I am, Melody.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, another day, another time, we'll discuss it. But let's discuss gold today. We have gold up 420 in the New York spot price after market 1209. We have silver down 4 cents today at 1660. Platinum is up $4 at 1177. Palladium up another $2 today at 811. How do they get the USDX up a whole 1.10? I mean, it's just 95.30. Of course, oil being down $2 didn't help, or probably helped. The dollar being strong today, 48.91. And it'll be interesting to see what gold does tomorrow. It's interesting to have that dollar as strong as it was today and yet also have gold up $4. So kind of interesting there. We'll see if it follows through or will gold take a little bit of a pullback tomorrow. Don't know. We'll know tomorrow. So paper markets today. We'll have to bring those up. And we have the Dow. Didn't follow much of the paper markets today. The Dow was down 10 points at 18,214. The NASDAQ up 20, 49.87. It'll hit 5,000 tomorrow. The S&P is down 3 at 21.10. 10-year is back up over the 2% at 202, up 0.05. The Euro today, that was hit hard, 1.47. 1.12 for the euro. So that was hit real hard today. And does look like the futures price for gold was just down $1, $2. So not bad considering those other numbers. So it tells me that something is brewing. You had Germany up over 1%. Japan was up over 1%. So most of all your foreign markets were up overnight. And what a difference a day makes. What a difference a year is going to make, because I'm still in the camp that we're going to see higher gold prices by the end of the year. And a lot of things are going on, a lot of predictions this year, more predictions for this year than we had several last year. And, of course, they're always wrong because they don't look at the big picture. And you have to calculate the big picture. And they have a lot of power. The New World Order, they have a lot of power and a lot of abilities to keep this illusion going. And they have the, you know, they own the media. They can tell people whatever they want them to be told. And we got a nice little comparison I'll do when after the break on gold out on Mint State 64, $20 St. Gaudens. I thought I'd follow up on a comparison. I did that about a week ago, a little over a week ago, and I have another one today. So,
all right. We're going to do a comparison on St. Gaudens gold coins after the first break. What are we going to do before the first break, Melody? Huh? How about that?
Well, Loretta Lynch today, she was cleared in a key vote for her bid to be the next attorney general. After Holder, three Republicans backed her nomination. And, I mean, these are not surprises when it comes to these Republicans. You have Orrin Hatch, Lindsey Graham, and Jeff Flake of Arizona. And so the next battle is on the Senate floor where the is still expected to have enough of the GOP backing her to be confirmed. And, of course, she pledges her support to the executive amnesty. And Ted Cruz says it just doesn't stop at that. She cites a range of issues from drone strikes to the Internal Revenue Service. She has told us her views, and those views are radical. Those views undermine the rule of law. And so it's just replacing one with another, the same, well, I don't even want to say the same color, but the same birds of a feather.
You're wading in deeper and deeper, Melody. And I'm going to be interested to see how you extricate yourself gracefully.
Well, I thought I did a fine job on that. But so, you know, it's just another day in the world of
living the dream. Let's all just live in the dream.
You also have a leading House Republican. This is kind of interesting. We don't know if it's true or not because we don't have any names, and usually I don't like to talk about things unless we have a name. House Republican claimed today that he's been told of a 100-page document showing that the Obama administration is preparing contingency plans in case the Supreme Court invalidates federal subsidies that help millions of Americans afford health care coverage. Representative Joseph Pitts out of Pennsylvania provided no details about the paper and he did not say if he has actually seen it. At a hearing of a House Health Subcommittee that he chairs, Pitts said he had received information about it from those sources, a source in the Health and Human Services. So we don't know if such a document exists. However, we do know that the subsidies, and you know, what's really amazing, even if they did nullify these subsidies, to me, I think the damage is already done. I mean, do you really think that these insurance companies are going to give back the premium to those of us who had our rates increased to help offset those subsidies? I mean, my rates went up $300 a month.
That's pretty good.
And then, yeah. And do you think they're going
to
take those
$4,000 for the year?
Yeah. Do you think they're going to take those rates back and say, oh, well, you know. We don't have to, you know, we're going to make all people pay for it now, so.
I've seen one report that said Obama, just in the last couple of days, they said they have no fallback position if the judge invalidates their subsidies. I think 37 states would be wiped out, and there's subsidies to 37 states would be stopped, if I'm understanding this correctly. And the result might be that they might have to fold up Obamacare. It would certainly slow them down quite a bit. And whether it would stop them or not, I don't know. It's like any other government program. We have them down here in Texas. We have a sunset provision where any agency that's been in business, I believe it's government agency, if it's been in business for 20 years, it comes up for 17 years, maybe 17 years, 20 years, somewhere in that neighborhood. It comes up for sunset examination to see if it's still doing anything that's actually any good for the public. You know, they start these agencies out, and after a while, maybe we don't need them anymore. Well, so far as I know, the only one they've ever canceled in the history of the state was the Boll Weevil Commission. Right? Other than that, they all keep on marching, going forward, and getting bigger and consuming more taxes. That's pretty much the way government operates. They're not going to cut back on anything. They can extract a dollar out of your pocket. They're not giving it back. So I've got one here on Obamacare, though. This is out of the Washington Times. Taxpayers duck Obamacare tax, snubbing IRS. That's the headline. Up to 6 million will owe fee this year. That's the subheadline. Taxpayers are already telling their accountants they plan to stiff the IRS on Obamacare tax, saying that they figure the chances the agency will come after them for a few hundred bucks are pretty slim, and it makes sense to take the risk. Well, you know, that's always a dangerous way of thinking, but it's not irrational. In terms of criminal prosecutions, the IRS only generates about 1,000 charges a year nationwide. And there are something like 60 million non-filers in this country. You can see that the odds of, at least with regard to criminal prosecution, the odds of defying the IRS and getting away with it are good in terms of criminals. Civil, they go after more people civilly, but even so, the IRS has become something of a paper tiger. Now, I know if you are the people that are hit, if they're coming after you, you're in for big trouble. Nobody can deny that. This is you got a real uphill battle if you're bumping heads with the IRS. But what are the odds that they come after you? Not so high. So it's not irrational, but, you know, there's a certain amount of risk involved in resisting the IRS with relative to paying off the Obamacare tax. Still, other taxpayers are recoiling when they find out that they owe far more than the $95 minimum penalty for not having insurance in 2014. They can get stuck. It references that some of them are getting stuck for over $850 for going without insurance last year. All right, and it becomes complex, and there's certainly risk involved. But episodes that they're describing in this article raise questions for the revenue agency, which is trying to figure out just how far it's prepared to go to collect the Obamacare tax. Now, that's interesting. They are saying, we know we can't go in there and just bust everybody's skull. So how far can they go? And they haven't made up their mind yet. And they even have questioned whether future administrations will enforce the Obamacare tax at all. Under the 2010... Okay, go ahead, Melody. You got something?
Well, the thing of it is that all they have to do to enforce it is if they get a return, they're just going to take it out of their returns.
That's exactly...
I mean, the people aren't going to have a choice. And the sad thing about this is these people who sign up maybe at the beginning of the year, it's based on their wages and how much they bring in as far as how their rate is calculated. So maybe they had a little bit better year, or maybe their boss asked them to work a few extra hours, and the guy made a few extra bucks. Well, he's planning on, you know, maybe his $95 or his fee for insurance that when he files taxes the following year, and the next, all of a sudden, they charge him for the extra premiums on the insurance just because he worked a few extra hours and made a little bit more money. Now they're going to come in and say, well, you made more money, so you owe us more money, and we're just going to take it out of your refund, so what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. Well, there's the problem.
They're criminals.
In fact, you know, I've seen one man that I knew down here, trying to think of his name, and I can't, ran a business called Aeroplastics. He was a tax resister. He had 25, 30 people working for me at a nice little factory, and he objected to being required to handle tax collection on behalf of the IRS relative to his employees. I got to fill out all his paperwork. It takes me time. I don't want to do the withholding. Well, he wound up spending 8 or 9 years in the slammer. And he was a good man. He was a decent man. And he said, look, here's what the law is. And he said this, 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 and this. And he went through a bunch of he stopped the IRS on his own, didn't have an attorney. Stopped him. They indicted him 3 times in front of a grand jury, and he beat them. At least twice, maybe three times. But they came back one more time. Harris came back one more time. He hired an attorney, and he wound up being convicted, and he was sentenced. Did you think he did 8 or 9 years in the slammer, lost his business and everything else? Now, the point I'm trying to get to is this. He was threatening the withholding system, and he did not fully understand that in doing so, he posed a mortal threat to the Internal Revenue Service. If the withholding system broke down, there'd be no income taxes in this country. Because everybody in this country spends, pretty much everyone in this country, spends the money just as fast as it comes in the door, and then they borrow another $100 on top of that. Right? If the government can't cause the employer to withhold part of your paycheck every Friday, or on the 1st and the 15th, excuse me, if they can't do withholding, they know that come April 15th, you aren't going to have the money to pay the taxes. And they can't jail everybody in the country. And therefore, if there was ever a way of getting around withholding, all right, where businesses didn't have to do that, the Internal Revenue System would collapse, because if they don't get it before you get it, you're going to spend it. And they know that. Well, this relates to some degree with this idea. If you're subject to withholding, all right, fine, you don't pay what they think you owe for your Obamacare tax right now. But next year, when you're supposed to, you're saying, oh, I'm going to get $4,000 back from the IRS this year that's been withheld. And it turns out, nope, you're only going to get about $3,150 because they're taking out $850 before they send any money back. Just a point, withholding is critical. It's not merely incidental to the Internal Revenue Service. It is absolutely critical, and as long as it's there, very difficult to get around income tax for those who, you know, for those who are inclined to do so.
Well, it's one thing if you're getting a $4,000 return. It's a lot different when people are only getting, you know, $500 back and they owe $850.
Yeah.
And those are the people, and those are the folks that are going to get hurt the worst, are the ones who need the breaks to begin with.
Yeah, I know.
It's because they're not making the big dollars. They're barely surviving as it is. So now they're going to have a lot. And maybe it's a good thing, though. Maybe these people will wake up to what has been done to them with Obamacare. And maybe they will see it's not as good as what some of those think that it is.
Well, we'll see how this works out. Yeah, I understand that. It's, I don't know. You know, it's one of those things, how have we benefited? I know it's helped some people who didn't have insurance, but I have no doubt that it's pushed other people into positions where they no longer have insurance. Maybe they did have insurance before, but because the price has gone up and they're not in a position to be subsidized by the government, they wind up going out of the system. I wonder whether there is a net gain or a net loss in terms of insurance for people based on Obamacare. Are more of us getting in or more of us getting out? Or is it a wash? I don't know. We're going to take a break. Frank knows. He knows that it's time for commercials. And Melody and I will be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Does the cost and risk of conventional healthcare concern you? Wouldn't you prefer inexpensive solutions to health problems rather than disease management? If so, tune into Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. The program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What you got for us, Melody?
Mint State, $64, $20 St. Gaudens gold pieces. February 9th, I did a comparison a little over a week ago with this coin versus spot gold. Spot gold on February 9th was $1,238. Today it is $1,210 is a difference of $28 to the downside. Mint State 64 $20 gold pieces, St. Gaudens, they're $60 higher in price than they were on February 9th. Even though gold is down $28, bullion prices down $28, Mint State 64 $20 St. Gaudens are $60 higher. So I think it's been an incredible coin, incredible performance in this coin. You have Mint State 66 St. Gaudens in the same time frame. They're up 130. You have the lower grades in Mint State 61 and 62 $20 gold pieces. They're not up as much, but they're still up $5 and $10 versus bullion gold that is down 28. So again, another comparison to show you how important it is to hold $20 gold pieces in your portfolio. Even if you're a bullion buyer and you believe nothing and all you ever want is bullion, it doesn't hurt for you to diversify into $20 gold pieces. They provide a little more privacy and certainly, as we see today, a little more performance. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. We're still continuing the America Saves Special Gold and Silver Week. 1/10 ounce gold eagle. An AU $5 Indian gold piece, 20 silver eagles, 20 Morgan silver dollars, and $20 face value of 90% silver. This all includes your shipping costs for $1,700. So make sure you give us a call and get all the prices locked in.
Again, that's 82 coins, if I understand correctly.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice starter collection for, you know, youngsters. Get them interested in silver coins, gold coins. Make them, you know, you can help them to become sensitive to these concepts and the ideas. And it's not just an investment, it's an educational device. So in any case, sounds like a good deal, Melody.
It absolutely is.
I have an article here from the Washington Times talking about net neutrality. It's in the news. Everybody's kind of talking about it. I don't know if they're talking about it or they're just, you know, it's hard to get straight information on what's really going on here. It'll come out as time progresses, but at the moment it's not clear what's really happening. The article says a divided Federal Communication Commission Thursday approved the so-called net neutrality plan that critics warn will impose broad new regulation on Americans' activities on the Internet. Critics are saying, oh, this is a bad deal. The commissioners approved the plan by a party-line vote of 3-2, with the majority Democrats moving ahead with the historic proposal to reclassify broadband as a utility, giving the commission more regulatory powers over Internet providers. So now it's going to be in a utility, and they're doing this, of course, to help us. And as FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler says, the Internet is simply too important to allow broadband providers to be the ones making the rules. The action we take today is about the protection of Internet openness. Today is a red letter day for Internet freedom. Everybody in government is always fighting for our freedom, and they intend to give us more freedom by giving us more regulation. I mean, this is like that sign over Auschwitz. Weg ist Frieden, if I recall correctly. All right? Nazis were telling the Jews and whoever else they put in the Weg ist Frieden. If you work, you get freedom. That was there. To the government, they over the gates to our government, we have regulation ist Frieden. That's the American government slogan. It's just one of these things you look at it and you say, oh my gosh, can't they just leave anything alone? Proponents say the rules will give government new power to prevent companies from blocking or slowing data. And that may be true, right? But Republicans on the panel said the move will lead to new utility-style taxes and inhibit competition. And that might be true. Commissioner Ajit Pai said the agency took the action for one reason and one reason only: President Obama told us to do so. In other words, the FCC really didn't want to get into this, but President Obama said, get into it, and now they are. So Mr. Pai says more new taxes are coming. It's just a matter of when. So the point here is that it appears that the Democrats believe that by giving us new Internet freedoms, or at least protecting some of our existing freedoms, it's only fair that the American people should be forced to pay new Internet taxes. Republicans, of course, are arguing in favor of a wide open Internet where the rich corporations are free to innovate and charge higher fees for faster Internet service. The point seems to be that there's money to be made on the Internet. Money, big money here. And the government and the rich corporations are fighting between themselves to see who gets that money. Of course, we all know who's going to pay that money. We don't know for sure who's going to get the money yet, but we know who's going to pay the money, don't we? The public, the taxpayers, the Internet users. The only question of who's going to get the money, again, the government or the corporate America. It seems to happen every time there's money to be made. Either the corporations rob the people or the government does. Freedom is cursed. Nobody cares. We're talking about money, more money, more money, more money. And it's just, you look at it, and it's hard to know what to think about this because you can't get straight answers. One of them is trying to save us. One side is trying to save us. The other side is trying to cause innovation. I don't know who's right. And that's one of the things that offends me. I can't really take a side on this. I hate to imagine, it would astonish me if Barack Obama was doing anything that might be right, but who knows, maybe he is. Maybe he is protecting the internet. On the other hand, maybe we do need more innovation on the internet. Will innovation really be stifled if the government moves in and prevents the internet providers from providing fast speeds for some people and slow for others? I don't know. You know, the article continues. New FCC rules are likely to be tied up in court due to opposition from certain cable companies and internet service providers. I say good. Hooray for the courts. They might provide some gridlock, at least temporarily. The corporations won't get their hands on the internet. The government won't get their hands on the internet. New costs and new taxes won't be imposed, at least for a while. So hooray for the courts. Commissioner Mike O'Reilly, and here's where it begins to get a little bit deep. Commissioner Mike O'Reilly, FCC commissioner, who dissented, he was one of the two who voted against this, 2 out of 5, accused the Obama administration of forcing the agency to dictate the outcome of for pure political purposes. He called the plan half-baked, illogical, internally inconsistent, and indefensible. I cannot support this monumental and unlawful power grab, Mr. O'Reilly said. Ooh, it sounds scary, doesn't it? But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Kentucky Republican, said the new regulations will strike a blow to the future of innovation in our country. Again, sounds scary. Senator John Thune, he's waded in. The only place to get clear rules is through legislative action. That just sounds typical to me. And what are we going to get here, Melody? Does anyone know? And it was interesting to me that just this week, there were people on the FCC commission who wanted this 330-page document of new rules and regulations that we will be more free, Melody. We get another 300 pages of regulations to govern our lives, and that will make us more free. They wanted to make it available to the public and let the public see this for at least 30 days before the FCC reached its decision. But apparently the majority of the FCC, the three commissioner majority Democrats, they apparently said, no, the public doesn't need to see this. And this is what bothers me more than anything else. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know who's right. I don't know who's wrong. And that's what bothers me. Why wouldn't they make the information available to the public? And the answer has to be that if they did, they know it would at least ignite a lot of controversy in this country. And it might even ignite public rejection of the new rules and regulations that are proposed. People, when they see what's really going on here, they just say, no, I don't want any of that. That's what bothered me. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I wish they would have allowed the public an opportunity to see what's happening before they went ahead and decided this is what's going to happen, whether anybody knows it, likes it. That's what bothered me.
Well, the way I see it is, you know, there's no difference between big corporation and government. They're all the same, and they're probably all working together. They're just taking these sides to make it look like
good cop, bad cop.
The good cop, bad cop, exactly. Yep. And, you know, people, yeah, it'd be great if people could see, but how many people really understand all this computer lingo anyway? I mean, you have to have, you know, people, I mean, it's all attorney written, lawyers written all this to where it has to be deciphered and everything else. So people, I don't think, really care. I mean, they don't care about anything else.
I care.
Although if it affects their gaming, if it affects everybody watching their movies.
Yes.
And things like that, yes, people will become upset and they'll want to know why they are paying more for Netflix than with somebody else.
They're watching Netflix And all of a sudden, their movie slows down and stops while the slower internet connection, if that's what they've got, catches up.
But it's true.
They'll have intermissions from time to time.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
There's the good advice. But thanks to President Obama, he said, we need to change this. You know, that guy is bound and determined to meddle in just about everything he can find in the last 2 years of his administration.
Are they really so desperate for every penny they can suck out of the American people or anywhere else they can get it? Are they that desperate? They need it so badly?
Is it just desperation for pennies?
Yeah.
Or is it desperation for control?
Both.
I mean, I guarantee one way or another, this is just going to lead up to, well, we're going to have to monitor because there might be a terrorist, you know, so we've got to keep an eye on all of you people.
Yep.
Because who knows? Maybe you're terrorists. And by terrorists, I mean people who are dissidents, people who reject what government is doing. That's terrifying. You can't deny that the government is here to help you. And if you don't accept our help, we may just have to smash your skull in with a club because we're here to help you. Whole thing becomes, and you just wonder, when is this going to end? You know?
It's not going
to. When does this police state shut down?
It's not going to.
We find, I don't know about that. I don't agree. I don't agree that things are hopeless, but I am sure waiting to see some congressmen, senators, presidents be elected who actually care about running this as the land of the free rather than the land of the biggest police state in the world. And that's what we have. A lot of people, we don't have the biggest police state. Oh, yeah, we do. We jail a higher percentage of Americans than any other country in terms of jailing percentage of their own people. Nobody exceeds us. Only a couple of people come close. And we've got lots of people in the slammer who are there on nonviolent, victimless crimes. And we just keep stacking them away and stacking them away. And the government says, we're going to make more regulations. I guarantee you some of those regulations are going to get people jailed before this is all over. They might not be. That might not be considered. That might not be something that's in the 300 pages of regulations that we've been blessed with here in the last day or so. There may not be any criminal liabilities there now, but you wait. You give them a couple of years, and they're going to say, gee, we've got to impose criminal liabilities on people to make them obey our civil rules. It'll come. And we need to really start asking ourselves, do we need to jail everybody in the country who does something that is nonviolent, point one, and contrary to arbitrary regulations that have been established by the government? Are we going to be the land of the free, or are we going to be the land of the police state? This is an important question, and it's not just rhetorical. We have to make a choice on this, because it'll make a difference on what kind of country you folks are handing back to your children, your grandchildren. What are you leaving them? A police state where government spies on us at will, jails us for trivialities, and passes laws that nobody understands, and that includes the Congress, who doesn't even read the laws that they are voting on or against. They don't read the laws, they just broker them. Somebody comes into Congress, says, look, I got $100,000, I need this law passed, and somebody else says, I think I can help you out. The whole thing's turned into a debacle. I'm Alfred Addis. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Got an article here, headline is David Stockman. World central banks are on the edge of desperation and carnage is coming soon. Doom and gloom coming here.
Hey, I got a question.
Go ahead.
Before you head on to that, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Donald Trump is really considering running for president. Would he be the same as Ross Perot and then at the end just do a lot of hollering and screaming? I mean, when you compare him, I mean, when you hear him talk and debate, he's certainly a lot better than half of the politicians that are running for the Republican side.
I think it's probably true. I think, you know, it will be a little bit strange and there will be no end to the cartoons about the hair. You understand? I mean, even the cartoonists, they're oh,
we can't wait.
Oh, run, please run, because they've already got they've got a bunch of panels that have already been designed with that hair thing. And but, you know, you can't tell. Trump might not be a bad idea. And that, and I'm not here to say that Trump is going to be a good idea per se, but in his own way, he's theatrical in one thing and another. I get that, but in his own way, he's for real, I think. And how many? I don't know that I can say that about any of the politicians. I mean, whatever objections people might have to Donald Trump, I wonder how many of those objections don't apply equally to any of the other potential candidates. I get the feeling that Trump would make heads roll. All right, you're fired. Maybe so. Who knows? And can it be worse than what we've had? Good God, we had Bush Jr. in there. That was, for me, a debacle. And I thought, nothing could ever be worse than that. And silly me, then they elected some guy who's probably from Kenya. I put him in the White House. And I thought, oh, my God, it's even worse. I didn't think it was possible. And now...
You got Jeb Bush.
I don't know. Yeah, Jeb Bush. That's what we need. We need a third Bush in the White House. That's what this country needs. We need to have families that, like the Kennedys and the Bushes and whoever, that they take control. Last thing anybody... You know, there should be a rule. It's not just that you can't run for the presidency more than twice. Right? And probably no member of your family can run for the next two generations. We don't need these little family fiefdoms in politics. I don't believe we're well served by them. We would be better off to have ordinary people elected to a lot of these offices who actually had little brains and some experience in real life, not politics. You know, if they've made a career out of politics all by itself, that can be a mark against them. They can sit back and say, well, we know how the system works. Yeah, we know how the system works, too. It works to deprive us of our rights and increase our taxes. And I don't think expertise in operating the system is necessarily a good idea. We need some people who say, listen, this system is big trouble. And we don't need to learn how to operate it. We don't need to be skillful at operating the system. We need to change it in fundamental ways that make it truly work for the vast majority of the American people and not just special interests in the top 1%.
Well, you know, Al, do you think the American people are just so fed up with the traditional politician that they would welcome someone like Trump?
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of implying. Yeah. Is I'm just saying, look.
They're going to welcome him.
How much?
He is interesting. And I'll tell you what, I saw an interview. I saw an interview in him many, many, many years ago. And I never liked the guy. I just thought he was, you know, my personal opinion, I just didn't care for him. And I watched him on this interview, and I changed my, you know, now maybe he's just that good of a salesperson that, you know, he can change your opinion of him just, you know, through an interview. But he had said some things that he actually impressed me. And you're right, he's very theatrical and everything else. I get that. He's a salesperson. I get that. But
he might tell the truth.
But he might.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking he just has that kind of attitude.
Yeah.
He doesn't need the money, and he doesn't need the job. And he just might say, I don't care whether you like me or you don't like me here. I'm going to tell the truth. What about that? I'd like that. I would go for it. Even if I didn't like the truth he was telling. If the man was honest and open with the American people, for me, that would be a step up. We get so much deceit and deception. And people just changing the meanings of words. It's like they talk about restructuring our debts. All right, restructuring the debt of Greece or Ukraine or wherever. It's just a fancy word for saying, look, these people are bankrupt. They can't pay their bills. And rather than admit they're bankrupt, we're going to say they are restructuring. See? All it means, we're not going to pay the bills. That's what it means. But restructuring doesn't carry with it the stigma of bankruptcy. Greece is bankrupt. Ukraine is bankrupt. Technically, we are bankrupt. But nobody's going to deal with the truth. Maybe, who knows, maybe Trump would tell the truth. So it's worth a shot.
I never thought I would be voting for Trump.
Anyway. Well, it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened yet.
I know.
Who knows? We might have somebody up there who's willing to tell the truth. Who's the last politician we had who was telling the truth, Melody? Probably Ron Paul.
Washington.
Yeah, no, not that far back. After him.
Who, after him.
Yeah, the second to the last. Washington was the first. Second to the last was Ron Paul. I mean, he tried to get at the truth in a lot of instances. I don't know that's, you know. But I had the impression he was trying to be honest with the American people. And how many other politicians can you really look at and say, yeah, this guy's trying to tell the truth? We can rely on him to tell the truth every time we ask him a question. He'll tell us the truth.
And, you know, even Ronald Reagan, he got elected because of his ability to communicate to the people. I mean, it was that thing that attracted you to him. The same way with Ross Perot. He had that way to communicate.
He was a great salesman. I mean,
yeah, they all are. That's what they all are. Even Pat Buchanan. I mean, you listen to his speeches and he just got you fired up.
Yep.
Whether you agreed with him or not, he fired you up. And I think Trump would be the same way. He would get you fired up.
I agree.
And so anyway,
let's... He might even have some trials for treason. Who can say? Hey, listen, the politician in favor of trials for treason. You know, it might be that I could vote for that.
Anyway, let's get back to.
All right, here's David Stockman.
the desperation.
And, yes, and desperation and carnage is coming soon. Carnage is coming soon, and it's not merely Greece and whether it stays in the euro or not. It's all symptomatic of what I believe is the gathering crisis in the world. Our two-decade-long grand experiment in financial bailouts, massive money printing by central banks everywhere, and nonstop Keynesian debt stimulus is headed toward the wall. After Wednesday's failed European Union Greece negotiations, he's speaking last week. It's inconceivable that there will be any lasting deal on Greece. Now, this is before Friday. He probably made these remarks on Thursday of last week. It is almost certain now that we are on the threshold which will result in the crack-up of the European Union and the euro. And what happened, of course, in the Greek negotiations last week is they agreed to give Greece another 4 months before everybody has to face the truth and say, uh-oh, Greece is bankrupt. Right? And this is not a small thing. Greece is bankrupt. Ukraine is bankrupt. Most of the governments of the Western world are technically bankrupt. The United States is bankrupt. The government is bankrupt. There are people out there, John Williams, government says we're $18 trillion national debt. John Williams at shadowstats.com says, nah, you calculate the debt with the same formula we used 15, 20 years ago, and we're $100 trillion in debt. And Congressional Budget Office, all right, we can debate whether John Williams is right or wrong, but Congressional Budget Office and economist Lawrence Gottlieb said, no, you're both wrong. We are in over $200 trillion in debt, which translates into something like $675,000 in debt for every man, woman, and child in this country. It's not going to be paid. All right? That means we're bankrupt. We have financial promises. Oh, yeah. It's like I go out and write 100 checks for $1,000 each. Or say $10,000 each. Well, I might be able to get individual businesses to take one check from me for $10,000. But sooner or later, they're going to find out that, Al doesn't have enough money to make good on all those checks, which means either Al is facing criminal prosecution for fraud or Al is going to have to admit that he's bankrupt. Now, if I'm a nation, there isn't going to be any criminal prosecution, but they still don't want to admit they're bankrupt. And we're looking at an entire monetary system that is largely bankrupt. Nobody wants to admit it. You know? So here we have Mr. Stockman. He's observing that, you know, Greece is not alone. There's going to be the consequences. Greece, and he doesn't talk about the Ukraine per se, but they're pushing the world closer to a moment where the governments are going to have to say, uh-oh, we can't make good on our debts. That means all of you people that are holding our paper promises to pay those little documents that might say they're worth $10,000 or $100,000 or a million, guess what? They're not worth that much anymore. We're going to have a restructuring. See, we're not going to beat you out of the debt. We're not going to declare bankruptcy. We're going to have a restructuring. And I'm wondering how many people are even going to believe this. But chances are they'll pull it off. They'll look us in the eye. We're going to have a restructuring. And the whole country's, a restructuring. Sounds very sophisticated. No, it's just refusing to pay your debts. That's all it is. And in any case, Stockman, he predicts that the failure of the European Union and the euro will catalyze a thundering global crisis of confidence in central banks. And then we will be off to the races. Everywhere we look in the world, the central banks are on the edge of desperation. Sweden has now joined the cavalcade of negative interest rates. Denmark was already there and is desperately fighting off a massive inflow of capital out of the European Union and into their market. Denmark has negative interest rates. And you would think, if you invest in Denmark, they're gonna have negative interest rate. Instead of at the end of the year, you get 5%. You invest $1,000, you make $50. $50 interest, 5% at the end of the year. They're going to have negative interest rates. You invest $1,000. At the end of the year, you get $950 back. You have a negative interest rate. Why would anyone go to Denmark? There's a massive capital inflow out of the European Union and into Denmark because Denmark is preparing for deflation, and the European Union and the euro is going to go for inflation. So it's a way of protecting your money. The whole thing becomes nutty. We saw the calamity a few weeks ago when the Swiss finally had to give up their lunatic peg and exchange, and the exchange rate soared overnight, creating enormous losses and carnage. Mario Draghi, president of the European Central Bank, is about ready to unload 1.3 trillion of make-believe printed out of thin air currency into the European financial and bond market. Japan's madness knows no limit. The red capitalists of Beijing see an implosion everywhere in their massively overextended and debt-ridden markets, particularly real estate. Brazil and Turkey are in huge trouble. There are unlimited flashpoints, and that's perhaps the most important point. You know, there's a bunch of problems. Any one of them, maybe most of them, could be dealt with. But there are so many problems that it seems almost inevitable. I mean, it really does seem inevitable. Not just almost inevitable, inevitable. It seems, it really is inevitable that with all the troubles we have in so many places, there is going to be a significant collapse someplace, and one of the dominoes is going to fall, and then we are going to see something unusual happen. And it is unlikely to be fun. So Mr. Stockman is just warning that we are sitting on the edge. It hasn't happened. Might be able to get around it for a while. I don't know how long we can resist these problems. No one else does. Mr. Stockman doesn't know either. But almost certainly we're going to see a major problem. And if we are, the implication is obvious. You got to get ready. Your government is already technically bankrupt. They're not going to be able to help you much. Maybe a little, but not as much as you want, not as much as you need. It's going to be up to you to provide for your future, and that's going to mean food and water and guns and bullets and gold and silver. And you need to get some, because it seems virtually inevitable that we're going to see some sort of a crash in the foreseeable future. You'll see it in your lifetime. I expect to see it in mine. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.